T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
So our buddy Mark Potash threw this out on Twitter yesterday. It is the scenario. Here we go, yo.
Here we go, yo.
For the Bears to make the playoffs with a 9-7 record.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
All right. The Bears would need to win against Detroit, win against Dallas, win against Green Bay. You expect a loss against Kansas City and win at Minnesota to finish 9-7, okay? They would need Minnesota to lose to Seattle, beat Detroit, then lose to the Chargers, lose to Green Bay, and the Bears beat them head-to-head. They would need the Rams to win this week, lose against Seattle, lose against Dallas, lose against San Francisco, and then win the final game against Arizona to make them 8-8. They need Philadelphia to win all of their games. Every single one of them, so that you get them out of the wild card division. Just win the NFC East outright. Then they need Dallas to beat Buffalo, lose to the Bears, beat the Rams, lose to Philadelphia, and then beat Washington to finish 9-7. Bears the tie break because they beat them head to head. And they need Carolina to do this: win against Washington, win against Atlanta, lose to Seattle, win, win, and finish 9-7.
That is how the Bears get themselves to the playoffs. Let's go!
Don't stop believing.
They need a lot of help.
That's a lot.
And they've done it to themselves.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Look at Tony putting in the extra effort on a production piece instead of getting senioritis and phoning it in. That's why he was promoted in the first place. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock today. We're treating today as if it's a Friday. So JJ Stankovic is going to join us to preview Bears versus Lions. I got some other stuff that I'm going to throw your way. It's going to be a fun few hours here on The Score. Joe Ostrowski is going to be on The Score tonight. Dean Davis. If you haven't heard Dean Davis, they're going to sit in for Grobber. It's a different kind of radio, man. Those guys are good, and you're going to enjoy listening to them overnight tonight. But I'm here tonight. Tony and I are both going to be here on Friday because we just felt like, one, it's Tony's last day. Two, it's the day after a Bears game, so why not be here? We're not going to be here tomorrow. I'll be doing the other thing over at NBC Sports Chicago. And Tony will be eating turkey, I'm guessing. What do you guys do at the house?
My mom does turkey, ham, dressing, which I don't understand dressing. It's like the community's version of stuffing,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Stuffing is made in the turkey.
Inside,
dressing is
on
made
the outside.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like to nibble as I go along throughout the day, so I don't just have one giant meal.
I think that that's the right way to go. You get yourself, make yourself a small plate. You work on the small plate, and you come back a little bit later on. Maybe later on that night, you're having a ham sandwich a little bit later. Like those, it's a lot of carbs. It's a lot. Almost too much carbs. But that's good. So Tony's going to be doing that. I'm going to be working. Studs, you're going to be working tomorrow too?
I am working tomorrow, yes.
Adam Studzinski
is
sitting in for Rick Camp on today's show. We do have a lot of Bear stuff to get to you, a ton of it, and some kind of interesting stuff about the Lions as well that we'll share. But we're going to start things off, as we start all things, with the rundown.
Hey, you know what? Do you have a rundown that I could take a look at just so I know what type of rundown you're looking for?
Just keep it simple.
Keeping it simple. That's what I'm doing.
The rundown.
So here's the thing in your rundown for Wednesday, November 27th. It's the Hawks on this show is like Fight Club. We're not supposed to talk about the Hawks because when we do, they start losing.
We didn't even mention it yesterday at all.
No.
And look what happened.
Right. But, like, we do need to play the highlight because they won. Shh.
First period goal, Brandon Saad. Third period power play goal, Patrick Kane. Empty netter, Connor Murphy. They stand in unison here in Chicago. Corey Crawford, his first shutout of this season, is 26th in his outstanding career. The 7-game winning streak of the Dallas Stars has been stopped, and the Chicago Blackhawks have defeated them 3-0.
All right, let's then quietly play the Corey Crawford sound of him talking about what happened in his shutout.
I think we played
really good defensively. They got a few times where we got stuck in our zone, and you know, we didn't panic. Just kept them to the outside, and some big block shots by Siebes there, a couple of kick saves, and that was a good win against a really good team. So, you know, just got to build off that, I think.
Blackhawks win. All right, now moving on, a little college basketball last night. DePaul was down 50-32 to Central Michigan, a team that scores about 100 points a game. And then the Demons roared back.
10 seconds remaining. Charlie Moore with the basketball. He'll cross the timeline left to right. 4 seconds to go. And the Demons do it again. It wasn't easy, but DePaul improves to 7-0, rallying from 18 down at halftime to beat Central Michigan 88-75.
Yeah! All right, that's enough. But DePaul is 7-0. Believe it. Texas Tech, that's the game that I'm looking at. They beat Texas Tech. Then now we can talk about some real stuff. But right now, happy that the team's undefeated.
Best basketball team in the state.
There's no doubt about that. Best basketball team in the state right now. Can't have any. Get to 10 wins in non-conference ball, and then you're good.
You guys even seen Western Illinois basketball team play?
Do we have to?
No. I think they have one win against the D3 school.
The only team that might be better than DePaul's men's team is DePaul's women's team. 16th ranked in the country. Yeah, but other than that, in the state, they kind of got it on lock right now. But we have to be very quiet about that too. Because, you know, DePaul. Meanwhile, nationally, wasn't Brad Underwood at Stephen F. Austin? Isn't that where he came from? Guess what his old team did?
Loose! Kensmill's got it! They've got a timeout. They don't use it! Bane! Yes! The Lumberjacks have done it! The Lumberjacks apparently have done it! They'll look a little longer, but this is going to be the biggest win in program history! And they slay Goliath!
Highlight courtesy of Fox Sports. Stephen F. Austin got a steal and a layup with 0.4 seconds left.
Duke lost to Stephen A. Smith.
No, it wasn't Stephen A. Smith. It was Stephen F. Austin. They lost to Stone Cold. Stone Cold! Oh, my God! That's Stone Cold Steve Austin's music!
And on them, that the biggest win in program history? They had a tournament run a few years back, right? Didn't they make like the Sweet 16?
It's the... Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Steve Austin has shown up at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Oh, my God. And they lost. So Duke lost. But, yes, Studs, you're right. Stephen F. Austin, I want to say, were they even an Elite 8 team or was it just Sweet 16?
I'm going to look it up.
It was their biggest regular season win. That's what people should say. Because they went deep. They had been a tournament team like all the time. And then they went deep 1 year and all that good stuff. Meanwhile, at Halas Hall, the Bears are now on their way to Detroit to take on the Lions. Mitchell Trubisky says it doesn't matter if the offense is up-tempo or not.
We just got to run what our offense is. Whatever Coach Nagy calls, whatever the plan is for the week, the coaches work really hard on the plan week in and week out, and they do a great job coming up with a scheme for us. It doesn't really matter what the tempo is, what the play call is. If our 11 guys on offense are on the same page doing their job, the play should work. I mean, that's as simple as I like to keep it in my mind. So whatever they come up with, they do a great job scheming. They put in a ton of hours, and the guys just need to know everyone needs to know their job, believe in the plan, and go out there and execute it, and we should be fine.
So let me explain what happened here. Mitch on Sunday was like, I really dig that up-tempo stuff that we do and that no-huddle stuff. And then he got back to Halas Hall, and they pulled out a ruler, and they slapped him on the knuckles with him. Like, don't you be talking junk about what we do on offense. You'll run what we call, sir.
Come on, son. Come on, son.
This is what happens. They put him in the quarterback re-education program, and now everything's back to normal. No. That little bit of personality and balls that he showed on Sunday immediately recoiled. when they were like, hey, don't be saying that type of stuff. Don't have Coach Nagy out here asking questions about his offense. You just do what we tell you to do.
They put him back in the room, had him watch the television screen, strapped down again.
Yep. It's sad. I like the version of Mitch I saw on Sunday. Maybe we'll see that version of him again after they beat the Lions tomorrow. Here's what Matt Nagy had to say about Khalil Mack being more dominant now than last year.
It's impossible to say that he hasn't had a good year. I mean, I think he's had a really good year. And there's a lot of times where he's getting a lot of people on him. This past week, you saw, for whatever reason, there were some times where he got a little bit more singled up. And anytime he gets singled up, he's usually going to win. So I just appreciate the way that he comes to practice. Throughout this whole deal, the season we've had, he's been a true pro. He cares about the numbers only because it helps the team. And I think that's how everybody is. And so he could care less about all the sack totals and everything. He just wants to win. And that's all I hear from him. And that's what I appreciate the most.
He is dominant, do you think?
Absolutely. Probably. He may even be more dominant for that fact, just with the amount of attention that he's getting.
You're fine just saying, yes, he's as dominant as he was last year.
Come on, son.
You don't have to. You don't have to be hyperbolic about it, because even Khalil Mack told you last week that, you know what? Tony, you added in a Chris Tabor, the special teams coordinator bite?
Your man's.
All right, great. Let's hear Chris Tabor talk about kicking.
I think I'm going to hold true to my statements that kickers don't grow on trees and that there's a growing process and it's a year-to-year deal. I think that we did state that, and this is no excuse, but I think this is the lowest field goal percentage since 2003. I think that obviously as an organization and as a coach, you have to temper that with how long do you stay with them. You know, you don't overreact and you don't underreact, but he's an awfully good player, and you know, obviously that worked out in our favor. But I can't say that I'm surprised by it, because everything right now is still unpredictable in the league. I mean, there's only a few guys that when they line up, you feel really pretty good that it's going through.
All right.
Has anyone ever started saying this is no excuse but, and not followed with an excuse? Like, I just, every time you say, why do people even say that?
It happens all the time.
This is no excuse, but
and it happens
excuse.
A lot with this Bears coaching staff. Studs, did we find out about Stephen F. Austin?
Yes. So what I would determine is their biggest win in program history is in 2016 as a 14 seed beating number 3 seeded West Virginia, 70-56. So they won by double digits. Also, then they didn't win their second round game, but they lost by a point to 6 seeded Notre Dame.
Well, no, I mean, we're not talking about losses.
I know. That's just a note onto that.
Being a 14
I thought they
over,
went further is why
me
I put
too.
That in there.
Being a 14 over a 3, though.
In 2014, they were a 12 seed and beat the 5 seed in overtime.
All right. Then there's an argument that this was their biggest win.
I didn't realize that they didn't go as far. I thought they won 2 games. So, yeah.
Yeah! Oh, my God! Here he comes, the rattlesnake himself! Down the stun, Mike Krzyzewski. We're going to talk some Bears with J.J. Stankovic next. Oh, my God, Stephen F. Austin.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Have a little fun, brother.
Let's go.
Okay?
Have an awesome game today, Ken.
J.J. Stankovitz, covering the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago.
You are still taking your fitness very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go drink beer and have pizza after this, but I earned it.
Every single Friday.
Except for today.
J.J. Stankovitz with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a Bears Friday on a Wednesday today on The Score. Bears Friday is brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. We have great guests on like J.J. Stankovitz. They join us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from in Melrose Park. He does a great job of covering the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and you can read his stuff on NBCSportsChicago.com. He is J.J. Stankovitz. Hello, J.J. How's Detroit?
Well, I'm not there yet. I'm on beautiful I-94 somewhere in the middle of Michigan, and it's very windy on the road, so I'm driving carefully.
All right, well, yes, please drive carefully, and I won't keep you long because I want you and Cam to get to Detroit very safely. I have a lot of questions that I want to run through, but I am curious, what's the thing that's the most interesting for tomorrow's game in your eyes?
I think it's how the Bears' offense kind of looks after Mitch Trubisky's kind of public plea of how he would like the Bears' offense to look. You know, and Matt Nagy talked about that this week, how the Bears do go up-tempo a lot, and he was right about that. They're second in the league in percentage of offensive plays that are in no huddle behind the Arizona Cardinals. And they're using more play action, which gets Trubisky throwing on the run. It changes the launch angle a little bit more. So they're already kind of doing that. I'm interested, though, in the formations and how frequently, or maybe less frequently, Nagy subs guys in and out, given that, A, it's on a short week, and it's, you know, it's really hard to implement a true game plan.
Ah, we got to pull the plug on J.J. Because it's not his fault. He's driving. He's probably in, like, Grand Rapids right now. Wait, would you go to Grand Rapids to get to Detroit?
I'm not sure. I've never been to Michigan. I don't really look forward to
it. You've never been to Michigan?
No, and it's, the funny thing is, my family's originally from Michigan after they moved from the South. They went to Detroit instead of Chicago. Okay.
Really?
Yep.
They're finding out all sorts of stuff about you.
Yep. They had a farm up there.
Like you with all the different high schools and everything else. Problem child. All right. Stud says JJ's better. Oh, that does already sound better. Hi, JJ.
Hi, Lawrence.
Oh, yeah. So you were saying that you're interested in seeing the formations.
Yeah. So I'm interested in how much Nagy does or does not sub in this game based on, you know, players talking this week about how when they do go no huddle and they don't substitute, they play faster. They know their assignments. They keep the defense on their toes. And it's simpler for Mitch. But also because it's a short week, maybe that will lend itself to them having fewer formation packages, having fewer substitutions. You know, and maybe that leads to fewer timeouts when they get the wrong personnel in the field or the personnel gets lined up in the wrong place because they're confused. Maybe that'll be an outcome on Thursday. So that is one thing I am interested in watching.
We played a cut earlier of Mitch kind of walking back his thoughts on the up-tempo stuff. And I'm just like, oh, man. Like, I liked the Mitch that was kind of telling you how he felt about things. And it's clear that he got neutered again. And that makes me sad.
I mean, he said it sort of after the game, too. Like, he kind of caught himself when he was talking about how great it is to play up-tempo and kind of play like he's, you know, playing more free and all that. But he said, like, but it should be the same when we're in pocket and we're in the huddle and we're not going that fast. Like, it should be the same. So he did say that. And then, yeah, kind of walked it back a little bit. But, look, I you know, these are conversations that I do not doubt Mitch Trubisky has already had with Matt Nagy. It does not strike me as the kind of relationship where Mitch is only making these comments in public. He seems like a guy who probably has told these things to Nagy, to Mark Helfrich, to Dave Ragone, and the Bears have tried to implement it. But Nagy's system is so based on gaining advantages by confusing the defense with different packages, with substitutions of different personnel, that, you know, it's probably a little hard to get Nagy to dial that back a little bit.
Talking with J.J. Stankovitz of NBC Sports Chicago. You can read his work on NBCSportsChicago.com. J.J., how is it that this defense, while they haven't turned teams over or scored as much as last year's, but they've done a great job of keeping people out of the end zone and keeping point totals low, how is it that there hasn't been a fracture in that locker room considering how well the defense has played?
I think last year has a lot to do with it, just in that those defensive players have seen this offense play okay, and they got really close last year with those players. So I think that plays a big hand in this, is that, you know, the defense kind of knows the drill, and obviously it's a lot worse this year in terms of the split between the offense and defense in terms of their success. But I do think, too, the defense also knows they're not playing as well as they did last year. It's by no means are they playing poorly, but they're playing like a very good, not great, not elite defense. And I think they will look at it and say, you know, hey, we could probably help them out by getting more turnovers, or we could help them out by playing a little bit better in the fourth quarter. You know, there are things that this defense can do that would benefit the offense that they're not doing. And again, this is by no means to disparage the defense, but when you go from being number one in defensive DVOA to number six, there is a fall off there. And the offense having their fall off as well, I think the defense can probably rationalize it a little bit by saying, well, the offense isn't playing as well, but so are we.
Is there anything to worry about with Detroit's offense, whether it is Jeff Driskel or David Blau?
You know, Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones are still good. But Kyle Fuller and Prince Mukamara are also still good. So, look, the Lions, if Jeff Driskel plays and is limited in terms of what he can do with his hamstring, which Matt Patricia said on Monday, like, well, you know, he can just stay in the pocket. And I was just kind of like, buddy, no, that's a bad idea, because the best thing Jeff Driskel did against the Bears was run away from Khalil Mack on a bunch of plays. And if he can't do that, I don't think you can just turn Jeff Driskel into a pocket passer when he's not a very good quarterback to begin with, and the only thing he really has going for him is his athleticism. So, I don't think the Lions can do a whole lot offensively. I think the biggest thing would be if the Bears turn the ball over in some inopportune spots, give them a short field. You know, the Lions will get maybe a touchdown or two max, but it's really hard for me to see that team sustaining drives against this Bears defense, even if the Bears defense is not turning them over much.
How important would a win tomorrow be for that Bears locker room? Not the community at large, not Bears fans, but that locker room in Hallis Hall, how big would it be?
Well, it would kind of alleviate the pressure for another week, and it would also kind of give them something to feel like they're playing for against Dallas on Thursday night. I mean, the reality is that the Bears are not going to make the playoffs this year. They have a 2% chance for Football Outsiders. But for the players in that locker room to give themselves another week where they can convince themselves they have something to play for, that's so important. You know, I was talking to Eddie Jackson yesterday, Lawrence, about his lack of interceptions for a story I wrote at NBC Sports Chicago. And he was saying, like, yeah, you know, I still feel like they're coming. You know, we got five games left plus playoffs. And I was kind of like, huh, interesting. You still said plus playoffs, but, like, that's how players have to think. And until they have literally a 0% chance of making the playoffs, they, you know, that still can be something that they look at and say, hey, you know, we still have a chance to shock everyone if we just focus on winning the next week, winning the next week. So that still does give them something to play for. And I do give, to go back to the defense, I do give them a ton of credit for last week. You know, the Giants' offense is bad. Daniel Jones is not good. Saquon Barkley's hurt and is ineffective. But I give them credit for still looking like they care, still playing with an edge that can disappear from a lot of teams when seasons are lost. And, you know, that edge still matters and still matters for a lot of these guys. So, you know, I think that'll probably show up again on Sunday. And, you know, then maybe it'll show up again, or not Sunday, Thursday, and then show up again next Thursday against Dallas, which could, hey, you know, the Cowboys aren't playing particularly well, and if they win that game, they're 7-6, and they can at least feel pretty good about themselves after how bad the first part of the season was.
So what's the plan for you and Cam Ellis after the game? Like, how you're going to write your stories, I'm guessing, probably you'd work on some podcast stuff, and then are you guys just hightailing it out of there or what?
We are going to transcribe in the Ford Field press box and then get on the road immediately. I've got a Wi-Fi hotspot. So we'll split the drive up. Cam will do maybe the first part of the drive, and I'll write my stories. And then I will do the second part of the drive, and Cam can knock out his stories. And We could always podcast from the car if we want. Yeah, it'll be a busy day on I-94 for us. But my hope is to be back home in Chicago by about 8 p.m. so I can have some sweet, sweet Thanksgiving dinner leftovers that my mom is so graciously going to provide me with.
Well, right on. I appreciate that there's going to be a lot of love in this Thankovitz household for you when you get back. So have a safe journey. Thanks for doing this today, JJ. Tell Cam I said hey, and enjoy yourselves in Detroit.
Thanks, Lawrence. Have a good one.
That's JJ Thankovitz of NBC Sports Chicago. He joins us every week before a Bears game.
He's not staying in Detroit. Come on, get out of
here. I actually like Detroit. But I get it. JJ's got a wife and a family. He's going to get home. That's what he's trying to do.
And leave Detroit.
Well, yes. And you have to start figuring out the math on this. I always like to fly to Detroit because it's easy.
That's what I was just saying. I'm flying for sure.
And I live south. But if you have all of this work that you need to do, running through the airport, not always, it's counterproductive. And I don't know what the flights are back, like getting back to, like on Southwest. I guess I could check. But you have to think the game, right? So the game starts at 11:30, add 3 hours to that. So let's call it 2:30. Add another hour for you to just get in and out of the locker room. 3:30. So now it's, do I do my work or do I go jump on a plane, try to make a plane, and then come back and do your work? It's, for me, I always flew back because I felt like you got home before you left with Detroit because of the time change. But I get it. Get in the car and go.
There's a time change in Detroit?
Yeah, they're an hour ahead.
Did not know that.
Tony.
I thought the whole central thing.
No, like if you go into Western Michigan, so like Mel and I, there's a place called Villanova, a pizza place that we like up there. And for us,
that's not where Villanova is, right?
No, okay. That's in Pennsylvania.
Very good.
But since it's really easy for us in Hyde Park, we're right off Stony Island. Jump on the Skyway, we can be there in less than an hour, but you lose an hour. It's an hour later. So sometimes we'd be like, hey, let's go get pizza. And be like, oh, it's going to be 10 o'clock when we get there. That sort of thing. But yes, it's a great thing to do in the summer because you're watching like 9:30 sunsets and stuff. Damn, Tony, there's so much stuff that we still haven't done for you. And we only got like two more days.
Not even less.
Now we got to get you to Michigan. If you went to New Buffalo, if anywhere on the shore, like you could actually do this in a day in the spring or summer, okay? Drive up, watch the sun rise on the lake on this side of it, and then watch the sun set on the lake on the other side of it. It's fun. Things are nice, Tony.
I'll take your word for it.
This doesn't even cost you anything. This isn't a $45 steak. This is one car ride. Come to Hyde Park, watch the sunrise in Hyde Park, drive to Michigan, hang out in New Buffalo, Michigan. It's exit number one. Exit one. You go through Indiana for like 40 miles. You go into Michigan, watch the sunset. Hang out all day, eat great food, and watch the sunset. See, I think Michigan should have me doing their ads instead of Tim Allen. Wait, pure Michigan. Where a young black man from Chicago can watch the sunrise in the city that he loves and in a state that he's never been to. We need to take a break. When we come back, there's something I want to share with you about Detroit, something that I think is actually germane to the Bears winning the game.
Show announcement?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Right.
Wait, or do we have to? Does the show announcement have to leave?
No.
All right, then no.
Just still teasing the people.
No, show announcement is coming. But coming up next is something that the Lions do that I don't understand that they do. And something that you should be watching for while you're picking and nibbling at the Thanksgiving Day table. I'll share that with you next here on The Score. Show announcement coming up before we get off the air today at 2 o'clock. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you. Until then, we are talking about the Bears who are taking on the Lions tomorrow up in Detroit. I read these numbers off yesterday, but for those of you who didn't hear, and maybe you're listening to the show for the first time, welcome in, because you're out here on these roads trying to get where you're going, even though the wind's like howling at 50 miles an hour or whatever. We appreciate that. We appreciate your support. And if you're just now listening to the show, I'm Lawrence Holmes. My executive producer is Tony Gill, and he's actually leaving the show on Friday is his last show, and we have an announcement about that coming up later on. Adam Studzinski is here sitting in for Rick Camp, who's on vacation because it's holiday time, and that's usually what happens. All right, back to the Bulls versus Lions. Bears versus Lions. The Bulls versus the Lions would be really interesting, too, and the Bulls would probably lose. But the Bears have a really good chance to win. One of the reasons that the Bears have a chance to win is because Matt Patricia, the head coach of the Lions, really likes to play man defense against the Bears. He's had two opportunities to coach against Mitchell Trubisky. And in those two games, Mitchell Trubisky's passer rating has been 148.6 and 122.5. Along with him completing 73% of his passes, and his yards per attempt going up to almost 12 yards in the first game and 10 yards in the other. It begs the question, why does this guy continue to play man against Mitchell Trubisky? So this morning I reached out to Jeff Rieger, who works at the Ticket. We were doing something for the Under Center podcast that'll be out later on today. But I had to grab this because I was just amazed by his answer. Why does the Lions coach like to play man even when he's getting toasted for playing man?
Well, first of all, I love the rocket scientist thing. I do. I don't think he likes it, but I love it. You know, there is this ongoing joke in Detroit that you got to keep Matt Patricia employed so the Rockets stay safe. Because you don't want that man around the Rockets. Because if he gets fired, he might go back to being a rocket scientist. But I'm with you. Because it's almost like Matt Patricia saw what worked in New England. And he's tried to bring everything over to Detroit. From the sayings on the wall to the hill they built in practice to run sprints on. I mean, everything's the Patriot way. His GM, he's an ex-Patriot as well. Apparently, Quinn and Patricia used to sit in the back room at meetings when they were in New England. And everybody knew one day they were scheming to, you know, take over an NFL team. It's like Pinky in the Brain, right? But I'm totally with you because Patricia is so damn stubborn. And he's seen over the course of the season that his man coverage and rush three, where nobody gets home and quarterbacks have enough time to make a ham sandwich, doesn't work. And you would think it would be pretty eye-opening, as you mentioned with Mitchell Trubisky, that I don't know. He stinks against everybody else, but he throws three touchdowns against the Lions. Maybe it changed things up. But he doesn't believe that. He believes the scheme works. He believes that if he doesn't have the players for that scheme, he's just going to pretty much force them into position. And that's what Darius Slay and Quandre Diggs, a couple of Lions, now one a former Lion playing for the Seahawks, have said. So I think he is set in his ways, and that's why you see what he sees, what you see. And it makes absolutely zero sense. And we've been dealing with it all season long. And that's the main reason why people want this man gone.
Stop me if you've heard that before. A coach being dogmatic about what it is they do instead of looking at the opponent and what the limitations are of their own team. It amazes me that a guy that did work with Bill Belichick didn't pick up on one of the things that makes him great. Each week is its own thing. Each game and each opponent is its own thing. You can put together a game plan where you say, you know what? This is what we're going to do to slow the Rams down. We're going to run a five-man front in the Super Bowl to help win it. Whatever it takes for that particular week, and not being so invested in a scheme that you can't move from it. There's no way that any defense should play man against Mitch. Let me tell you something. There's a few things that Mitch does well, and we talked about him throwing on the run, him using play action. He's good against man coverage. He's good at throwing the back shoulder throws to Allen Robinson in man coverage. If he sees man, he's decent. So why not do what makes him uncomfortable, which is drop seven, drop eight, into zone looks. Try to get home with four, And hopefully you get there before you get there in enough time to confuse him, and then he can throw you the ball. Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Start your Thanksgiving weekend right with some Chicago Wolves hockey tonight at 7 p.m. on Craft Beer Night. Get a ticket and three craft beers for one low price. Go to ChicagoWolves.com. This segment is being brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras, plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. That wasn't the only interesting thing that Jeff Rieger told me. So he works at our sister station up in Detroit, The Ticket, 97.1. He said that if you are going to be watching the game tomorrow, you should be paying attention to something that might happen.
You might see something interesting during the Thanksgiving Day game. And that is, there might be more Bears fans than Lions fans. There are radio stations, our station's one of them, that are trying to stage an impromptu boycott, if you will, to send a message to the Ford family, the owners, that Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn can't do the job. So it could get ugly on Thanksgiving. The first sign of trouble, those fans are going to boo their asses off. In fact, there's been shirts made in Detroit that, kind of like in Washington, they told Dan Schneider to sell the team. There's shirts with Martha Ford, the owner's face on it, that just say, sell the team. I got to believe those are going to pop up on TV tomorrow, too. So we're going into a pretty ugly territory, which we've been, unfortunately, in way too many times.
So keep that in mind while you're watching the game tomorrow. You might see some of that stuff. Be ready for it. This texter says, people think Belichick is a genius and the Patriot way is some secret. The Patriot way is do whatever it takes to win. Correct. You are 100% right.
Literally whatever.
Yes. I mean, sometimes they go a little bit above and beyond that. But from a week-to-week game plan standpoint, they're pliable and adaptable. They're able to go, well, this is not, yeah, what we did last week against this against the Chiefs is not what's going to work against the Packers. So let's be specific about what's going to beat the Packers and not worry about anyone's feelings getting hurt because a scheme isn't being run properly. The scheme is whatever it takes to win that week. It's part of his genius. It's not all of it, but it's part of it. Hey, contractors, the trade deadline is come and gone, but at SupplyHouse.com, you can still boost your stock with Trade Tuesday. On Tuesday, December 3rd, go to SupplyHouse.com for pro size discounts on all plumbing, heating, and HVAC products that you need. Stock up for the season during our best sale of the year. Take it to the house. SupplyHouse.com. When we come back, have you wondered what's wrong with the Bears' run game, but you can't quite put your finger on whether or not it's the running back or the offensive line or the coaching? I, too, have felt that way. So I asked an expert, and we will get that expert's analysis on it next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.